Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us here in person and all of you who are joining us online. We've got a few announcements this morning, the first being that Judy is on vacation and we hope that she has a wonderful week at the beach. The second is the musician that was supposed to fill in for her canceled, and I couldn't find another one. So let's see how flexible and adaptable we are today. We are going to sing all of the hymns a cappella, led by Mickey. We went back through and chose hymns that everybody's going to know, so you don't have to worry about that. I think we've decided we're going to sing the first and last verse of each hymn. We're going to speak aloud, not sing, the offertory hymn, the Lamb of God, the Holy, 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 and we're going to skip the Kyrie. So we're going to sing the first and last verse of each hymn. We're going to speak the Lamb of God, Holy, 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 an offertory hymn, and we're going to skip the Kyrie. We're just going to make it work. Oh, the communion hymns, because we need the timing, we're going to sing all the verses of the communion hymns. Oh, Chip says don't pay attention to the captions on the online streaming for the scripture lessons. Okay, another announcement as far as housekeeping goes. We have this morning, instead of apple juice, grape juice in the center of the communion trays. But because it's grape juice, it's darker. It might look like wine, but again, it's that inner circle that always has juice. Today, it's just grape juice instead of apple juice. Okay, one more thing I wanted to offer. The first lesson this morning is from Genesis 1. Instead of reading that whole chapter, you'll notice that I paraphrased in the middle of our reading all that God created. So that is a paraphrase of mine. Announcement about next Sunday. I was going to be on vacation. Pastor Constance Garrett was going to be here preaching and leading worship. Unfortunately, her husband has had surgery, and it is a really, really difficult recovery. And so I will actually be here next Sunday. We're going to talk even more about God, the creator of heaven and earth. And then starting Monday, I will take my vacation. So again, pivot. We're going to be adaptable and flexible. What I really want you to know is that in 2 Sundays, 2 weeks from today, it's going to be Camp Sunday. Our girls and I are going to camp this week, and they are going to help me plan that worship service. We're going to sing lots of old school Sunday school songs and camp songs. It's going to be a really fun Sunday. And then following worship on July 2nd, Camp Sunday, the fellowship committee is hosting a picnic cookout. So hamburgers, hot dogs, all the fixings are provided. You just need to bring a chair and a dessert. So be looking forward to that. I'm going to pass around a couple things that we want you to start praying for. We have a prayer shawl, but we're going to talk about that in the children's sermon and pass it around after that. But these are for me and Maddie and Isabel, who are going to camp this week. So this is my prayer shawl that I got last summer when I had my foot surgery, and to it is attached a bracelet, along with Isabel's prayer scarf and Maddie's prayer scarf. So we all have a bracelet that says in Morse code, "You are loved." And if they don't take anything else away from camp this week, I want them to know deep in their hearts that they are loved by God. And so we're going to pass these around. There's a name tag on it so you know who each is for. If you'll lay hands on these prayer shawls and scarves and bracelets and pray for us for safety, lots of fun, and lots of love this week. So we'll start over here. Frank says, if there's not anyone who has gotten their brownie as a Father's Day gift, to raise your hand and he'll bring you a brownie. These are provided by the fellowship committee. And last but not least, we have some birthdays and anniversaries this week. Mandy Fritz, Carol Varner, Frank Hamilton, Eddie Heitman and Herb Lohr have birthdays, and then several anniversaries, Sherry and Ted Proctor, Jan and Jim Watkins, and Matt and Monica Parsons. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so we begin our worship service at the font. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God, of our neighbors, and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to give this a try. They do this in the Baptist churches. They don't have organs, so.
A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the rule oppressor's rod, and with salvation glorious. The old satanic foe,
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Sure. Good morning, Anderson, and Isabel, and Maddie, and Sawyer. And Calvin, excellent. No matter how big we get and how old we get, we are all God's children, right? So this is a prayer shawl for Sawyer's little brother. And so I thought we could talk a little bit about the prayer shawls in the children's sermon. So you've probably been here when we've passed these around and you lay your hands on it and you pray for it. But these are knitted or crocheted so faithfully by so many people in our congregation, and some people buy the yarn for these. But as people are making these, they pray for whoever is going to receive it. And then when we know who's going to receive it, we all pass it around and pray for that person. And it got me to thinking, one of the most powerful things that we can do for one another is pray for each other. And I know that there are several people who pray for me daily or weekly, and I can't tell you what that means to my heart to know that I am being prayed for and that I am being lifted up into God's presence. And so this prayer shawl is for Sawyer's little brother. His name is Declan. And tomorrow he is having surgery to have a hole in his heart closed up. Sawyer, how old is your brother?
7 months.
He's 7 months old. And can you tell us a little bit about your brother? Is he a cute little guy? Does he laugh or giggle? Does he giggle a little bit? Does he like to play with rattles or any other toys? Mm-hmm. Does he like it when you hold him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you like being a big brother?
Yes.
I bet you're a very good big brother. Well, maybe all of us can gather together and lay hands on this prayer shawl now, and then we'll pass it around to the congregation. Go, go, gadget arms. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for the gift of prayer. Today we pray for Declan and ask that you be with him in his surgery tomorrow. Be with all the doctors and nurses. And help them to take care of him. Be with his mom and dad and his big brother Sawyer. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. And you can go to Children's Church if you'd like with Susan. She's going to take you and read a book with you.
The first reading for today is from Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. A wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God then created everything else that exists, plants of every kind, trees of every kind, the stars, the sun and moon, every living creature, and God saw that everything God had created was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle and all of the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in their image, in the image of God. God created them male and female. God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 8 and will be read responsively. O Lord, our sovereign,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants.
You have founded a bulwark because of our foes. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and stars that you have established,
what are human beings that you are mindful of them?
Mortals that you care for them.
Yet you have made them a little lower than God,
and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things.
And all sheep and oxen,
and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air and the fish of the sea,
whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our sovereign,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The second reading for today is from Colossians 1. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Word of God, word of life.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our summer sermon series looking at the Apostles' Creed, exploring what we believe. Today we're looking at the stanza, the part of the creed that says we believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. So lately, I have been watching Young Sheldon and The Big Bang Theory. Sheldon is the main character of both shows. In Young Sheldon, he is a young boy science genius, and in The Big Bang Theory, he is all grown up, has two PhDs, and is a theoretical physicist who ultimately wins the Nobel Prize. I love the characters. I love the comedy. I love the science that is woven throughout. And I think it's safe to say that this show has successfully made it to my top five TV shows of all time, maybe even the top three. But this week, as I have been thinking about God creating heaven and earth, I keep thinking about Sheldon and his mom, Mary. Sheldon, of course, is a brilliant scientist, and his mom is a very conservative Southern Baptist living in Texas. Throughout both shows, they have ongoing disagreements about how things came into being, and they're both on opposite ends of the spectrum. You see, Sheldon believes the science, and he can't reconcile that with the creation stories in Genesis 1 and 2. And Mary believes that Genesis 1 and 2 are literal, and she doesn't think that science had anything to do with that. That people don't know how to bring science and scripture and faith together, I think is actually a really, really common thing. And I wonder if you have ever struggled with this too. You know, we're supposed to believe in the Bible, and these two creation stories are in Genesis 1 and 2, but what about the science that we hear about and we read about and we also know is true? How do we make sense of that? Well, the good news is that as Lutheran Christians, we don't have to struggle with that. Because as Lutheran Christians, we believe that science is a gift from God, and that God gives us science to help us understand the remarkable universe and world that God created. We don't have to choose between faith and science, because they aren't opposed to one another. They aren't. We believe that God is the creator of the cosmos, the entire universe, and everything that fills them. We also believe that God is the creator of science. And because we believe that, thinking about our faith means that we need to take into account what science tells us about the world. Now, that also means that we may, from time to time, have to change some of the ways that we think about what we believe as new discoveries are made. I need to say this again because I want you to notice that I didn't say we change what we believe, but rather we change the ways that we think about what we believe. And to be fair, that can be a challenge for some folks. I mean, think about how less than 500 years ago, almost everyone believed that the earth stood still and that the sun and stars and moon revolved around it. When Copernicus and Galileo taught that the earth and other planets moved around the sun, not only did it cause a lot of debate, but the church persecuted them. It sometimes takes a while to get used to new ways of thinking. So as we explore what we believe about God, the maker of heaven and earth, of the entire cosmos, there are a few things that I think it's important for us to acknowledge. One, the writers of the creation stories in Genesis used the best knowledge about the world that people had in their time. But that was around 3,000 years ago. And people back then didn't know as much about the world as we do now. I think it's also important to acknowledge that the people who wrote scripture, and specifically in this case, the people who wrote the book of Genesis, weren't scientists. They weren't scientists. So there isn't anything in the Bible about the earth being billions of years old, because they wouldn't have known that then. Another example is in Genesis 1, The sky is pictured as a solid dome over the earth, because that's what it looked like to ancient peoples. But we now know that that's not the case, that the sky isn't a solid dome. I think it's also really important to note that the biblical writers and today's scientists are interested in different issues. Think about it in this way. If you had something going on in your body that needed some looking after, would you take your body to a mechanic? No, a mechanic works on cars. In the same way, if you needed someone to look at your car, would you take your car to a doctor? No. Different people study different things. Different people have different understandings and are interested in different issues. So the biblical writers, they're interested in the creator of the world. They're interested in why the world exists and what role humans play in that world. Scientists are interested in what really happened. How did the world come to be? How did humankind come to be? And so the scientific answers we have now about the beginning of the Earth and the vastness of all the galaxies are quite modern. They're answers that scientists know in the 21st century. Scientists concentrate on how things have happened, not on who might have caused the whole thing or why. They say nothing about God, and that's not because God didn't have anything to do with the beginning of the universe or life, but science doesn't study God or the use of God to explain things. I also want to note that there are so many incredibly faithful scientists in the world who use their faith and their work to come together and help us understand the world and God more fully. Let's jump back and look at a little bit of context on how the book of Genesis was written and when. You see, the book of Genesis would have become written down in the 6th century BC, when the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. Because although the Bible starts with the creation stories, that's not where the faith of Israel began. Although the Bible starts with those stories, the basic belief that they had long before those stories were written was that the Lord God had chosen their ancestors, promising Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars and that they would become a great nation. They believed that God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. But it wasn't until hundreds of years after that experience that they reflected on their experience in light of their faith. So all those years later, they came to see that the Lord their God was not just the one who had brought Israel into being and who had brought them out of slavery in the land of Egypt, but that God was truly the creator of all things. That God wasn't just the God of Israel. God is the one in whom the whole universe, the whole cosmos depends. The purpose of the Bible isn't to teach us about modern science. It's to proclaim that God created the cosmos and that God's creation is good. And even if we don't know exactly when the world was created or exactly how, we still believe that God created it. We believe that all things, visible and invisible, known and unknown, were created by God, called good by God, and are cared for and loved by God. The truth is that our Creator is so big and so vast. It's estimated that there are over 2 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 2 billion galaxies. I can't even begin to fathom that. And yet I still believe that God created all of it, and that God calls it good, and God continues to care for all 2 billion galaxies. And the creator of this unfathomable cosmos also created humankind and has given us a special responsibility and calling to care for all that God has created, which is what we're going to explore next Sunday. And so we give thanks for the gift of science because it helps us understand even more deeply what a remarkable creator our God is. And we give thanks for the gift of science because it helps us understand more fully all that God created and how intricately detailed all of it is. And so even though some things, actually, although most things are beyond our understanding and comprehension, what does it mean when we say that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? It means that we believe in God. We trust in God. We give our hearts and our minds and all that is ours to the maker of heaven and earth, to the one who created all things, visible and invisible, known and unknown. We believe that God calls all creation good, and that includes all bodies good. We believe that God created and loves all that God created and continues to care for it. The God in whom we live and move and have our being is the same God that created and holds the entire cosmos together with love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Every blessing to my heart to sing my praise, strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Teach me
what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
girls will join me by the font, please. Now the prayer shawls, have they made their way around? Can I borrow those, Johnny? Thank you. All right, I'll take your prayer scarf. You may be seated. It has been my pleasure and great joy to spend the last, I don't know, year and a half with these two remarkable young girls who are going through confirmation. They are incredibly bright, they have beautiful hearts, and they show up every time to confirmation, ready to learn and ask questions. More than once, you have stumped the pastor, haven't you? Which earns them Red's Donuts the next time we meet. But they also show up for worship, not only to worship, but very ready to serve us as acolyte, as communion assistant, and anything else that I ask them to do. And so I just want to say these two remarkable young women are going to camp this week, and I couldn't be more delighted that they're going back for a second year. This summer, we're going to be looking at the five promises that they will make in confirmation. It's part of the affirmation of baptism liturgy. When you were baptized, your parents made promises to bring you to worship, to live among God's faithful people, to read the scriptures, to receive the Lord's Prayer, to teach you to strive for peace and justice in all the world, and to love others like Jesus does. And in just a few months, when you're confirmed, you're going to make those promises for yourselves. Part of why we do confirmation is we believe at this age that your hearts and minds are ready to make your faith your own. And so we're going to be exploring those promises more this week, so that when Reformation Sunday rolls around, they're going to have a better idea of what they are promising. Also, when they were baptized, many of you were present, and you promised to love and care for these young women. You promised to pray for them and support them. And part of that is supporting them in confirmation and sending them to confirmation camp. And so we just want to say thank you to Lauren's Endowment Fund, to the Agape Circle, and to the Lutheran Men in Mission, for providing the funds to make it possible for these girls to go to camp, to learn, to spend time in God's good creation, to make friends with other Lutheran Christians their age, and to enjoy friendship with one another. So we ask that you pray for all of us this week. Pray that we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and God's love. Pray for our relationships to deepen with one another, and pray for our safety. One of the things that we passed around was a bracelet that says in Morse code that you are loved, and we're going to wear these all week with the reminder, yes, that we are loved by God, but that no matter where we go, we carry the love of our Holly Grove family with us. Will you pray for me, pray with me for these two young women? God, we give you thanks for the gift of baptism, that in these waters you adopt us as your children, and that you give us the gift of all of our sisters and brothers in your family. We thank you for these, our sisters in Christ, and ask that you would bless them abundantly this week with safety, with joy, with learning, with friendship. We ask that you would remind them over and over again that they are loved by you and by all of us. We thank you for the provision of finances to go on this trip. Lauren's Endowment Fund, from the Agape Circle and the Lutheran Men in Mission. We thank you for all Christian camps, especially the Lutheran camps here in North Carolina, Camp Agape, Luther Ridge, and Luther Rock. Bless camp directors, counselors, all camp workers, and all campers this summer, that they may grow deeper and deeper in relationship with you. Certainly, we ask that you give us safe travels today, but that you remind us that you go with us, that you love us and care for us, and that we will be welcomed home with great joy when we come back. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
With the whole people of God in Jesus Christ, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. For the church here and around the world, we pray. Seek out disciples and send them out with authority to proclaim good news, bring healing where there is pain, and counter the forces of evil. Hear us, O God. For the earth and all its creatures, we pray. Equip farmers, farm workers, and all who labor on the land to produce a harvest. Nourish crops with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Restore lands ruined by pollution or misuse. Hear us, O Lord. For those who govern, we pray. Empower those who seek peaceful solutions to conflict and embolden those who advocate for all who are oppressed. Work through systems of government to establish justice throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those who suffer, we pray. Accompany those who feed helpless, alone, or abandoned. Embrace any who long for successful treatment for mental illness or freedom from addiction. Heal those who are sick, especially Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, John, Mickey, Kent, Bobby and Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For fathers and father figures, we pray. Console all who long to be fathers, children estranged from their fathers, anyone grieving the death of a father, and fathers who have lost a child. Draw near to all for whom this day stirs up difficult emotions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy.
For all the saints, we give thanks. Receive your eternal care for all those who have died and fill us with hope that does not disappoint. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Mickey, let's sing all three verses of this song. Okay. No. This morning we are doing our regular offering, and our basket offering will go to Crisis Ministries. For the offertory, we're going to sing together as a congregation, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine."
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
comes forward, let us speak aloud the words of the offertory hymn. In gratitude and humble trust, we bring our best today to serve your cause and share your love with all along life's way. O God, who gave yourself to us in Jesus Christ your Son, teach us to give ourselves each day until life's work is done.
Let us pray together.
God,
of all creation, all your love is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All people are called to Christ's table. Come. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Peace, Lamb of God.
please stand for the table blessing? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's recite the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go, my children, with my blessing.